And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Joining me in the studio to talk all things financial from Envision Financial, it's Luke Smith. Good afternoon.
How you doing, mate? Rod?
I am still upright, still kicking.
I'm staying out of that dishwashing episode. Leave me out of that.
Somebody else can do it.
Yep.
Yeah, fair enough. No, I've always had it washing dishes, and so, you know, it's ironic that I actually have to wash my own dishes now, but there you go.
Well, sometimes we come full circle, don't we?
We do. That's right. That's right. I'm currently living in a place where there is no dishwasher, so there you go. Mm. That's all right. I don't mind. It's not.
I'll get in trouble for not packing ours properly. If there's any consolation. So, first world problems all over the place.
Exactly. That's what it amounts to. Let's talk about another first world problem, because if you're living in a developing nation, you probably don't have super. But here in Australia, we're very lucky. We have the compulsory superannuation scheme, which means that now and into the future, people will have retirement savings when they reach the end of their working life. Yep. But an interesting thing often happens. People get to the end of their working life, they know they've got all this money in super, and then all of a sudden they go, well, hang on a minute, what do I do with it? How do I make this work? How do I get it out of super and start using it to live the rest of my life?
Yeah, look, quite an interesting concept, because, as you say, people spend so much of their working life focused on accumulating and saving and getting it in that it's actually quite surprising the number of queries we get, and I thought this is quite, you know, topical at the moment, because people leading into Christmas are thinking about winding up at the end of the year, and we've had a number of queries where people will come in and say exactly that. Okay, I've got X, I've got it all in there. Well, now what?
Exactly.
How do we move to actually getting something from that, and take me through the mechanics of what's involved and how we do it? And they were some of the key things we're going to touch on today.
And that's not so surprising, really, because when you think about it, you spend all your working life with the money going into the super fund, and once that happens, you kind of forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever tells you what you have to do at the end.
Correct.
You have to go and ask somebody.
Yes, look, it's generally people come in and you know it's topical, because people always lead with, it's probably a stupid question, but...
Yeah, exactly.
And then that's exactly where...
And usually when people say this might be a stupid question, often it's not. Often it's a very sensible question.
Often it's so stupid everybody asks it.
You know?
It's just people don't realise that everybody else is in the same boat for exactly the same reasons we've spoken about. And, you know, they're some of the things we're going to demystify today.
So when we do finally leave work forever and ever, and we've had the party and the going away cake and the gold watch and the bottle of port and whatever else they give you, you go and then have to decide, can you still get money out of super as a lump sum, or is that no longer an option? How does that work?
Yeah, so obviously to start, to cover off the distinction between accumulating and taking an income stream, to be able to do that, we have to make a choice, and there's certain trigger events that have to occur. So the government introduced two key ways that an income stream can be started or a pension can be commenced, and that's through a transition to retirement pension, where you can take a specified amount whilst you are still working, provided you've met your preservation age or your legislated age at which you can access your superannuation. So the transition to retirement legislation was created to keep people in the workforce, to keep that skill set and that knowledge, and for those that probably didn't want to do 5 days a week but actually quite liked their job and could have very happily done a couple of days and sort of been in and out of the office. So the transition legislation allows you to start an income stream where there's always a minimum, and the minimum is set for your age, and it's a percentage of your capital value. Okay, so for example, anybody under the age of 65 must take 4% every year from their pension structure. Now, the key distinction between a transition to retirement pension and an account-based pension is that a transition to retirement pension has a 10% cap. Okay, so they both operate in a similar way. There is a different tax distinction between the two, but if we get down to the basics, I've made an election to start an income stream from my accumulated super. The next thing person would ask is, am I or am I not going to continue working? If they're going to continue working, then the transition to retirement legislation will apply to them. If they cease to be gainfully employed and say to the super fund, hi, I've retired on the 31st of December and I do not intend to return to the workforce, that is where you would start what they call an account-based pension.
Right.
Now, the mechanics of this is quite simple, and I think the simplicity of how this works actually surprises a lot of people. What you have accumulated in super stays exactly the same.
Right.
The underlying assets are the same. Your asset allocation is the same. The dividends from the assets that you hold remain the same. All we need to think about is saying we go from putting money in to taking money out. Okay, so if we just rehash that, you've ceased gainful employment.
Yep.
You've made an election to your fund, and then you've decided to start an income stream that says, okay, over the remainder of the financial year or from the 1st of July, whichever is appropriate for your situation, I'm going to take X amount of money out of the super fund. Now, as long as you meet the minimum, which, as I said before, under age 65 is 4%, 65 to 75, it's 5%, and it goes up little bit by little bit as you get older. Okay, that's a legislated table of events.
Right.
People can take their money out however and whenever they generally want.
All right.
Now, one big distinction we find as well is they think fortnightly. They think about their pay,
yes,
or they think about potentially how the age pension works.
Yes.
And there's a general assumption I find, or a misconception, that pension means fortnightly.
Right.
When in actual fact, as long as you take that 4% by the 30th of June in the financial year that you're drawing that income stream,
yes,
you could take it fortnightly, monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, annually. You could, for example, take your annual pension on the 28th of June.
Mm-hmm.
You could take your annual pension on the 1st of July.
Right.
3 or 4 days apart.
Yes.
You've had 2 years of full pension.
Yes.
And they're not taken on a fortnightly basis. So the nice thing about a pension is you can access your superannuation, which means you can probably fund the lifestyle and do the things you want to do because you've got all this spare time because you're no longer working.
Yes.
You could use a pension to top up some work if you decided to go back into employment and do something that you actually enjoy,
mm-hmm,
which is quite a unique concept after doing something you don't enjoy for 30-plus years.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. People say, oh, no, I hate working. Well, why'd you do it so damn long, really? And isn't it better to find something you actually do enjoy and then get paid for that?
Exactly. So, you know, you can use a pension to fund the way you want to live in the manner in which you need the money.
Yes.
So any time of the year, obviously, I'll put a caveat in there to say that you need to check with your fund provider. Because depending on the fund that you're in, they may have specific rules about when you can get it. But most good super funds will allow you to have pension payments whenever you want them. And to come back to your original question, yes, you can make lump sum withdrawals from a pension structure during the year.
Right.
And again, it'll come down to the provider of your pension and the way that they deliver the income to you. But you can have your cake and eat it too, because I find most things in relation to retirement are pretty much sort of when the balls drop, because you might have an idea, you might have a plan, and then all of a sudden you need a new car or you find a deal online and you don't want to spend 8 months saving up your pension payments to go on that cruise. You'd rather just rip some cash out, pay for it, and be on your merry way. So you can have your cake and eat it too in relation to how to fund retirement. And it's important that people understand that, because it can have a lot to do with the way that they approach the way they're going to live. So it's again, one of those misconceptions that I find people really sort of miss.
Well, I might be full of misconceptions, but I'd kind of always imagined that you saved up all your superannuation during the course of your working life, you retired, and then at the end of it all, they said, okay, here's your $500,000 that you've accumulated, go and do what you like with it. But you can't quite do that, can you?
Well, yeah, look, you can. If you want to pull all of the money out, then yeah, for sure.
Okay.
It comes back to then thinking about your broader strategies and saying, okay, if I pull all of that money in my name, it's then assessable against my marginal tax rate.
Right.
And depending on what you may have in relation to rent from properties, defined benefit pensions, you might have a military pension, you might have an MSBS pension, a CSS pension, a PSS pension, which are, you know, quite normal in the ACT.
Yeah.
You need to think about how you can best manage the tax affairs of your accumulated assets. One of the biggest kickers of a pension, especially an account-based pension, is that once you put that pension hat on and say, okay, I'm no longer saving into it, now I'm going to put the pension hat on and I'm going to draw money out.
Yes.
Everything inside the fund becomes tax-free.
Right.
Now, if you're over 60, it's tax-free coming out to you.
Yes.
If you're under 60, part of that could be tax-free coming out to you, depending on how the money went in. that's
a bit more complicated.
That's for another afternoon, and to get into that on a Friday is probably a little bit too technical. But the biggest kicker for a pension is superannuation funds pay tax at a rate of 15%,
yes,
or less. A pension account or an account-based pension, once it's commenced, provided you're not in excess of the transfer balance cap of $1.6 million, and that's a discussion for another day, everything inside there is tax-free.
Yes.
It's also free from capital gains tax.
Even better.
Even better. So you could buy Commonwealth Bank shares, for example, at $50 and sell them at $100 and pay no capital gains tax. Now, in that example we had before, if you'd pulled all of the money out of super and done that in your own name,
then you're in trouble.
Potentially be looking at a capital gain. So, again, people need to keep in mind that their broader resources, be it pensions, be it rent, be it cash, be it super, be it working, we need to look at that collectively to make sure that you have all your ducks lined up and you have all your eggs in the right baskets, because there are significant differences in relation to the tax profile of how the income or the pension is drawn.
Indeed. I guess, obviously, there's a lot to think about when you want to transition from the accumulation phase into actually enjoying your hard-earned money in retirement. So what do people need to consider?
Yeah, look, I think some of the big-ticket items that people need to think about is obviously how much and when.
Mm-hmm.
Having touched on that before the ad break, you know, taking the income stream in an appropriate manner is obviously very important, because if you are in a tax-free structure, you want things earning as much as possible where you don't need them. So understanding what you need and how you need to fund lifestyle is obviously very, very important. I'd also consider what you're going to do work-wise in the future. I'm finding more and more people are using work or part-time work or contracting as a really good way to save having to continue working to save money, because the value of some part-time work far exceeds the income generated from a larger capital amount of money. So what you might get for 2 days working could be equivalent to the income from $400,000 or $500,000 of capital that you may not be able to save fast enough to tie your retirement planning together. So I think you need to consider your working time frame and what you want to do in the future, because if you can have a tax-free income stream coming in and then potentially return to work, the legislation says I do not intend to return.
Yes.
It doesn't say I won't ever.
No, I do not intend, and I might change my mind at some stage,
correct.
But, you know.
So I think people should have a very good understanding or an idea of what they would like to do, because if you are going to work a couple of days, then how you structure your superannuation and the income stream that you take can have a direct impact on cash flow, liquidity, and obviously your broader plans throughout the year. I'd also think about, obviously, the asset base that you maintain. As we said earlier, an account-based pension is a tax-free structure, so I'd be looking to try and manage any sort of accumulated capital gain and push that down the road to where you can actually draw an income stream if possible, because there's no point selling assets and paying unnecessary capital gains tax, which could reduce the capital value of your income stream. So think about your tax planning and, again, when you're going to retire and how you're going to access your benefits. Think about the relationship between partners. Obviously, if somebody has, as we said earlier, a defined benefit income stream and they were to get close to the transfer balance cap, that means that any money over $1.6 million in super, you can't have a tax-free pension. So you want to look at maybe equalising the asset values of a spouse where they may not have that same income stream, so that you can have more of your retirement income as a tax-free structure. To tie back into what we said about how you take it, have a think about using tax-free pension income for people over 60 to make tax-deductible contributions to another super fund.
Okay.
Okay, so if we go back to work and we start to accumulate some taxable income, and we might be doing some contracting, we might have a pension from the government that may have a taxable component, taking a tax-free pension prior to the end of the financial year and then looking to put it back into superannuation and claim a tax deduction for that money, you've found now a very good funding source to help mitigate some unnecessary tax. And that's what a good accountant and some proactive advice would do in relation to leading into a key date like 30 June, so that you can take into account your broader situation and where your money's coming from. So there's some of the key things I'd be thinking about. There's no right or wrong here, but it's about being proactive and finding out what the rules are before you make assumptions and actually find out that you can't live and plan the way you want to do things.
And of course, everybody's situation is different, isn't it? So you want to make sure you get the best solution for your particular desires.
Look, exactly. You know, the term I use often is you shouldn't count money in someone else's pocket. So yeah, look, get advice. Don't assume that what someone does is right for you, because there may be a sharper and smarter way of doing it. And I'd rather people come in and find out than find out 5 years later they could have made a pension payment to themselves and cleared their mortgage with tax-free money, then kept working thinking they had to pay it off with wages. So there's lots of strategies that people may not be aware of. I'd rather you ask and find out. And if what you've done is great, great. If not, let's sharpen the pencil.
Well, how do we do that? How do we ask? How do we find out? What do we do to get more information?
Look, like we said most weeks, obviously, you know, www.envisionfinancial.com.au. It's Envision with an E. Go to the website. We've got the resource centre. We've got lots of information in there. We've got some videos to watch. We've got written material on pensions. Obviously, we've got the podcast on iTunes, the strategy stack at Luke Talks Money. And we've got the YouTube channel, obviously, Envision Financial Canberra, where we take the key takeouts of this and put some information on video so you can stop it and pause it. And also pop in, have a cup of tea, have a coffee, come and have a chat.
Simple as that.
Point it in the right direction
and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Luke, and we'll catch you again next Friday.
Thank you. Mate, no worries.